Okay, we're going to start today with a bit of introduction to Tumen Torah, for those of you who weren't here on Yontif, and for those listening online, and for those who want review. Okay, I made a chart, which I kind of built off a chart we used when we were in Masechet Shabbat. There's different levels of Tumah. There's a Vi'avot HaTumah, Ava Tumah Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi. Okay, it only goes up to Revi, and we'll see the relevance of the last two, Shlishi and Revi. Vi'avot HaTumah is a dead body. And Ava Tumah is someone who touched a dead body. It could be, or it could be a Nida, a Yoledet, a Zav, a Zava, a Nevela, or a Sheretz from one of the Shmona Shretzim. Those are all Ava Tumah. Okay, now, it's important to know what level of Tumah you're at, to know what types of things you could be Matame. There's also a level of Doraita, and there's a level of Dorabanan, as always. So, we'll start with the Doraita. As we get with each one, I'll tell you also the Dorabanan. So if you're an Ava Tumah, you can be Metame, Adam and Kelim. The truth is, why isn't that right here? Ochlim and Mashkin? I assume also. I don't remember now. Okay, I have to check that out. The Ava Tumah can be Metame, Adam and Kelim, Ochlim and Mashkin. Okay, so if you're a Nida, you can be Metame people, you can be Metame a Kli, you can be Metame food, drink, all of those. And whatever your Metame becomes a Rishon. Okay, so a Rishon is going to be an Adam or Kelim, or it could be foods, that are Nitma'u by, it's a good question. If an Avatum is Metame food is usually considered a Sheni. I wonder if there's also food. It could be a Rishon? I'm not sure. I guess so. I guess there could be. Food could be a Rishon. If it's Metame by the Avatuma, it must be in the category of a Rishon. But a Rishon can only be Metame Ochlin Umashkin. This is the part that's important. So, for example, right, a Kli that's a Rishon Latuma can't be Metame another Kli. Or a person that's a Rishon can't be Metame another person or another Kli. Okay, they can only, the Tuma of Sheni Latuma can only be food and drink. Okay, so this is Adam and Kelim that are Nitzmu Aydan Avatuma. Now, Midrabanan, they added a few other categories. One of them is Kitvei Kodesh. We talked about that. They didn't want to, people were keeping the Truma with the Kitvei Kodesh, and what was happening was the mice were getting in and eating through the Kitvei Kodesh. So they didn't want the Truma to be there, so they said, Kitvei Kodesh are Metame Yadayim. So what does that mean? So Kitvei Kodesh are going to be Metame Yadayim. So if you would touch the Kitvei Kodesh and then touch the Truma, you made the Truma puzzle. The hands would become Sheni, the Truma would become a Shlishi, and that would be a problem, and it would be Metame the Truma. And therefore they said, Kitvei Kodesh or Metaminas Hayadayim at the level of a Rishon, meaning that they create, your hands become a Sheni. That's one. Another thing they were Gozer on are Mashkin. Okay, we already said that a Rishon, like if you have a Ma'achal or Mashkeh that's a Sheni, so it can't do anything except for mess up Truma. But the Chachamim, because what's the issue with Mashkin? There's certain Mashkin that come from a Zav and a Zava and certain things like their spit and liquids that come out of their bodies are mitame on a higher level. Because of that, they didn't want people to be mekel with that, so they said any liquids, we're going to push back up a level. Okay? So if you have a liquid that touched a Rishon or even a Sheni, that liquid becomes a Rishon again. Okay? It like brings the liquid back to a higher level. So even though normally everything makes everything down a level, Midrabanan, they were gozer on a few other things like mashkin. This is going to be relevant today because we're going to see a case with mashkin, okay, with drinks, liquids. Sheni Latuma. So Sheni Latuma are basically Ochlin Umashkin Shnetu Oyde Rishon Latuma. And Midrabanan, also these Yadayim that touched a Rishon, right? Like or any Yadayim that touch any Rishon become a Sheni. Even though, right, a Sheni is only Metame food and drink. I'm sorry, a Rishon is only Metame food and drink. But if your hands touch the Rishon, Chachamim said, we're going to make your hands tame. Again, not your whole body. This is what we talked about a few days ago. Just your hands, not your whole body. If you don't get all this right now, don't worry. As we learn it, you'll see it in practice. Obviously, we're not going to see everything here. And then Midrabanan, and also Yadayim that touch the Kitvei Kodesh that they were gozer on. So they're going to also become a Sheni. Now, the relevance of a Sheni, at this point, if you're eating chulin, you're done. No more Tumah can be transferred. But if you're eating Trumah or you're eating Kodshim and somebody with hands that are Sheni or a food that's a Sheni touches another food, then that food, that Trumah, if it touches Trumah, The truma becomes a shlishi, and it's pasul. Okay, now we're going to learn this term of pasul. Pasul meaning you can't eat that truma. Okay, now the truma can't be betani anything else, though, because it's a shlishi already. There's no relevance. Shlishi can't make a reviv for a truma. Okay, but if a shlishi touched a steak of kodshim, you know, a korban, then it could be revi. So when it comes to steak of korbanot, or something like that, that has to do with a korban, there could be shlishi and revi. So if something touches, right, a sheni touches this piece of steak, that's kodshim, it's pasul, and if that touches another piece, it'll also be pasul. If that touches a third piece, already that's a chamishi in kazeh davar. Okay? So it goes like that. It goes to revi for kodshim, and it goes to shlishi for truma. Question.
The truma became tameh. They throw it out?
They have to burn it. Yeah. Okay. And it's also asur. Okay. There's a special isur to be mitameh truma. Okay. You also, not only did you create a truma situation, but you've been over on an isur of being mitameh, of post paslin truma. So that's a big issue. Okay. Now we start with our line here. End of Yud Tet Amabet. Amar of Mary, Shema Mina. Chulin shenasu al ta'arata kodesh ki kodesh dami. Okay, now, until what happens? Let's say you touch your sheni. You touch a regular fruit that's not truma. Is that called a shlishi? No. Only if you touch truma does it become a shlishi. So if you touch, let's say this is my fruit. I meant to bring some fruits and stuff, but I didn't get around to it. You touch this fruit, okay? This fruit touches with this piece of steak, okay? This is not truma. So my hands are sheni. I touch this, and then it touches the steak. The steak is kodshim. Do I apostle it? No, because I do nothing by touching this fruit. I can only mess up something if it's a truma. However, comes Rav Mary. Now, there's a machloket about this. We're not going to see the machloket, but he says this and someone else doesn't agree with him. But Rav Mary says that if I treat all my stuff as if it's kodshim, I say I'm a super duper careful person, I'm going to, or let's say there's two reasons. Either you're one of these people that decided to take chuma all the way and say, I'm going to always eat b'chezkat kodshim, okay, I'm going to make sure that I never metame anything to the level of a revi. Or you're a kohen who says, lots of times I eat korbanot, so I'm going to treat everything so that I don't mess up when I eat my korban. I'm going to always treat everything. Okay, I'm going to be machmir. Then your stuff is kekodesh dam. That means that if I touch my fruit that's not a truma fruit, it's going to be a shlishi. If that then touches a piece of kodshim, that's going to be a revi. Okay? And that's going to apostle the thing. Okay? Now, one perspective on this could be that Rav Mary was trying to say, you better watch out and not be so extra machmir because you're going to create other problems later and you're going to be metame kodshim and truma, right, when you really shouldn't be. And, you know, his attitude was, don't do that, okay? It's not so clear. It could be that's one reason why he did this. But anyway, he says, it seems from here, and we're going to see why now, where he gets this from, that if you treat chulin like kodshim, then you basically, and then also it seems implied from here that if you are matame something to the level of a revi'i, then you're over on an isser maybe. Because it's a sort to be pasulin truma and pasulin kodshim. So if you treat everything as kodshim and then you're matame it, well then maybe you're over on an isser also. It's unclear from here, but it could possibly be. So now, where does he get this from? So now we have to go back to our Mishnah. If you remember in our Mishnah, there were all these categories. So we had at the end the big dam aretz or midras leprushim, right? And the right. It says big dam aretz or midras leprushim because prushim treat chulin with kedusha, right? They try to make sure to always be tahor when they eat their chulin, which is different, by the way. A prushi that makes sure to eat his chulin b'tahara just means he makes sure his hands are clean, that they're not sheni l'tumah. But it doesn't mean he treats it al tahara kodesh to the level of revi'i l'tumah. So now, what does it say? Bigdei ha'amaret midras l'prushim. Bigdei prushim midras l'ochle truma. Okay, if you watch your clothes to the level of a prushi, that's still going to be a problem for the level of those who eat truma because they're going to be much more careful than you. And bigdei ochle truma or midras l'kodesh. If you have a kli that you were making sure it didn't become tame to eating truma, that's still not going to be good enough for those who eat kodshim. And bigdei kodesh or midras l'chata. Okay, so what do they say from here? What doesn't appear in this list? Those who eat b'tarat ha-kodesh. Why doesn't it appear? because it must be the same as Kodesh. Okay? In other words, if you treat it like Kodesh, it'll just be the same level as Kodesh, and there was no reason to add an extra level here. That's what they're going to say. Midalo katani behu ma'ala, because it doesn't have it as a separate level. It doesn't say big day prushim, look at Rashi. It doesn't say big day prushim ha'ochlim chulehem b'tarat chulin or midrislo ochle chulin b'tarat ha'kodesh, right? It doesn't list it as a separate level. It must mean it's equal to the level of the Kodesh. So the Gemara rejects this. They say, what do you mean? V'dilma ha'italo katani behu ma'ala. Just because it doesn't list it doesn't mean it's like Kodesh. It could be either like Truma or like Chulin. Now, why does the Gemara think that? Because there's a Braita that supports that. The Braita says that there's a machloket about whether we treat them like Chulin or treat them like Truma. And if you're going to notice in the Braita, nobody thinks in this Braita that you could treat them like Kodshim. Okay? So that's why they're going to say this is a silly proof. And even more so, what's weird about this is the Gemara basically brings us a rejection of the proof. But really, it's a question on Rav Meir Bichlal, because how could Rav Meir, who's an Emora, say something when there's no Tana'itic opinion to support him, when there's already a Machloka Tana'im about it, and neither of them matches his opinion. So let's see for a minute. Chulin shenasu al Taharat HaKodesh, right? People who treat Chulin like Taharat HaKodesh, harehen kechulin. Rav Elazar bar Rabbi Tzadok omer harehen ketruma. Okay? So here we see one opinion says they're treated like Truma, and one opinion says they're treated like Chulin. Nobody thinks that they're treated like Kodshin. So number one, that raises a problem to Rav Meir, although very strange that the Gemara doesn't directly say that's a question on Rav Meir. But what it really shows here, according to the Gemara, is that just because it didn't have it listed as a separate level doesn't mean that it's like Kodesh. It could be like Truma, or it could be like Chulin, which are already listed there also. So it didn't need its own category because it corresponds to one of the categories, but not necessarily Kodesh. So it doesn't prove anything. So now they say, but we can learn it from the Seifa of our Mishnah. Elami Seifa. Yossi ben Yoezer, it's clear, by the way, to the Gemara that he's learning it from our Mishnah, because he says, Shema Mina, we learn from here. From here means learn from our Mishnah. So they're trying to figure out where in our Mishnah does he learn it. So it must be them from the Seifa. Yossi ben Yoezer haya chassid shebekuna, vaitamit pachto midras lekodesh. He was a real chassid when it came to kahuna, meaning he was very machpid about truma. But his mitpacha was going to be midras lekodesh, because even though he was really, really machpid, he was only machpid for truma, not for kodesh. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgadad, here's the important line for us, haya ochel al taharat kodesh kol yamav. What do you see? He ate always as if it was kodesh. Now, what do we say about him? Okay, his mitpachat wasn't carefully enough watched, right, for the chatat, but it was, right, what are they going to say? Lechatat im, but lekodesh lo. Meaning, it was properly watched for kodesh. So what do you see here? The chulin shenasu al tarat ha-kodesh are like kodesh. Okay, and we learn from him that that must be the case. So alma kasever, chulin shenasu al tarat ha-kodesh ke kodesh damu. Okay? So that's our proof. It must be from the second part where they say, if you treat things like Kodesh, then basically your mitpacha is going to be good enough for Kodeshim, and we're going to take it one step further and say if it's good enough for Kodeshim, then basically anyone who treats things like Tarat Kodesh is going to be considered as if their stuff is Kodeshim. Okay. Now we're moving into a different issue, which is Hasech Hadat. Hasech Hadat means if you're watching something to make sure, okay, this whole thing we've been talking about, people being careful that something doesn't become tummy. You watch your stuff to make sure that, let's say it's this beged we were talking about in the Mishnah, so Anita doesn't sit on it, or Azav doesn't sit on it, or right, you're watching it. Now, we learned in the Mishnah that depending on how carefully you watched it, would it be good, people who eat Truma are going to watch it more carefully than people who make sure to eat Chulin Batara, and people who eat Kodesh are going to be even more careful than the Ochlei Truma, right? To what extent do you watch this object, okay? How carefully are you watching it? Are you watching it 24 hours a day? Are you making sure that when you're not there, someone else is watching it? You know, or are you just making sure that it's in a closet, nobody's touching your closet? How careful are you? So now, you can be really careful, but if you have Hasech Hadat, what does that mean? You stop thinking about it for a minute, okay? It doesn't really mean you stop thinking about it for a minute, but something switches. So now we're going to see three cases where something switches, and that switch is going to mean that you're no longer, your shmira is broken, and we're going to assume that kli is tameh. And they're going to seem somewhat strange, and we're going to deal with them. Naflama aparto hemenu. Okay, he has I think this translates as a cloak or something. Is it a sudar? Like a shawl. He has a shawl, and it falls down. Amar lechaveiro, tnali, he says to his friend, can you pick that up for me? Unitanalo, and his friend picks it up for him, tme'a. We assume because he asked his friend to pick it up for him, he had a sechadat, and it's tameh. Okay? We're going to see after where this comes from, okay? Or I can even tell you now. The concept here is that when he told his friend to pick it up, he didn't say to his friend, are you tahor or tameh? So the friend assumes, since he didn't ask me, he must not care that this kli be tameh. Once we have that assumption, then the tuma, the shmira is broken. Okay, even though, technically speaking, this guy's there all the time, he's seeing it, right? And he can always ask the guy later, are you tameh, are you tahor? But since he didn't ask that question, and the friend assumes, well, he must not care, right? So then there's a break in the shmira from that jump of a thought that, oh, he must not care that it's tameh, then it's no longer tahor. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yonatan ben Amram, nitchafu lo kelim shel shabbat bekelim shel chol, ulevashan. He thought he was taking big day chol, and it turns out he was taking big day shabbat, and he wore them. Nitme'u. Those kelim were nitme'u, because here we have a concept that if you thought you were watching one thing, and it turns out you were watching something else. Now what's the difference between big day chol, big day shabbat? The assumption here is that big day shabbat, you have a higher shmira on them. So when you realize all of a sudden that these are big day shabbat and I was watching them as if they were big day chol, you have a break in your shmira then. Because you weren't doing the shmira the way you wanted, so you say, oh my God, I messed up the shmira, and then that breaks it, and it's no longer considered shmira. Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, this is what I call the locker room swap. Ma'aseh b'shtei nashim chaverot shenitchafu lahem kleihem b'beit hamerchatz. Okay, they go to the Beit HaMerchatz, and they accidentally swap clothes. And each of them was watching their own clothes. Okay, the big question here is, how could they have been doing shmira and missed their clothes, right? In other words, messed up. If they were watching them, what, they went in to shower and they left their clothes out there? Who knows if there was a nida that came by or, right? You think about it, it's a strange. So again, this maybe indicates to what level are we watching it. And as we're watching it, we know we're leaving it outside, we're going into the Beit HaMerchatz for a few minutes, we're coming out, we're assuming that nobody touched our clothes, because everybody touched, right? When you go into a locker room, you leave your clothes, you can assume nobody's really touching your clothes, but once in a while, people take the wrong stuff. And, you know, maybe more likely someone took your bag rather than your clothes, but you never know. Someone could have taken your clothes. Okay, so now what happens? Ubama selefne Rabbi Akiva, vitim an, and he said, they're tmeim. Why? Because as soon as you realize you have someone else's clothes, you no longer know where they, even though everyone was watching them the whole time, but there's a break. Because at that moment when you realize you don't have your clothes anymore, you think, oh, maybe the person before me wasn't watching them, and that breaks the shmira, and there's no more shmira. Right? Again, even if you find out that in the end she watched it very carefully, there's a break in your shmira, and that is called hasechadat. So now we're going to have two questions on this. Matkifla Rabbi Yoshaya. Ela me'ata, hoshit yado lesal, lito pat chitim, baltab yado pat sa'orim, hachanami dinitmet. So that means if you put your hand into a sal and you want to take pat chitim, and you take pat sa'orim, are we going to assume that that pat sa'orim is tameh because you weren't, you didn't have your mind on it, right? You took the wrong thing. This, by the way, is a little bit reminiscent of these sukkahs we learned about. If you intend to, like on Shabbat, you intend to throw 2 amot and you threw it 4 amot. Does that mean, is that a malacha? Because you threw it 4 amot, which is a sur in Rashid Arabim, but you intended only to throw it 2 amot. Here also the intention is very critical here, or like korbanot also, your intent is very critical. So would you also say this is nitma? And the assumption here is that obviously it's not nitma. If you put your hands in a sal to take pat kutim and you take pat sa'orim, you're not going to say, oh, that's nitmeit, because your chashiva was different. And then the Gemara continues to say, v'chitei mahachinami, if you do want to say, oh, it really is nitmeit, and therefore this would impose a question, I'll show you a proof that it's clear that it's not nitma. Why? V'hatani, I'll bring you another case. Ha'mishameret ha'chavit b'chazkat shel yayin. You're watching your chavit, assuming that in this chavit there's wine, okay? You have a barrel, you assume there's wine in that barrel, and you're watching it all the while to make sure nobody touches it. B'nimtzeit shel shemen. But it turns out, you find out, it was really shemen inside and not yayin. Tehora militameh. What do you see? It's not mitameh other things, this barrel of shemen, okay? It's not mitameh other things, so what do you see? Oh, it doesn't become tameh. And here you would say, this is hasechadat. Okay, so therefore, what do we say? The patzarim and the patzitim also must be the same way. In which case, either which way, both this braita and the patzitim and the patzarim seem to raise a question on our concept. If you were in Bigdei Chol and you thought they were you were wearing Bigdei Shabbat, you thought they were Bigdei Chol, that chashiva of thinking it was the wrong thing, having shmira with this wrong chashiva, breaks the shmira. Here you see, it doesn't break the shmira because these are taharam and the tameh. So then they say, but wait. But you didn't read the Sefer that Braita. What does it say in the Sefer, the Braita? This Chavit was a Chavit of Shemen of Truma. This Chavit is Pasul. You can't eat it. And yes, it can't transfer Tuma, but it is Pasul. So you do see that. So what do you see here? That it is Tameh. Now again, now they're going to say, Amai. Why is it tameh though? Because if it's Torah mili tameh, but it's asurah mili achol, so is it because of a sechadad? Is it because of something else? Right? We're trying to figure this out. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, ba'omer shmartia midavar ha-mitam'ah ve'lo midavar ha-posla. So what does he say? The reason why this is asurah le'achol is not because of a sechadad. It's because you told the workers there, be careful that this doesn't become tameh in a sense that it will be mitameh other things. It doesn't get to a certain level of tuma. But you didn't say, be careful that nothing passels it, okay? So what does that mean, basically? Be careful that a Rishon doesn't touch it, but you didn't say, be careful that a Sheni doesn't touch it, right? Because if a Rishon touched it, it would become a Sheni and it would be mitameh other things. So you said, make sure no Rishon or higher level gets in contact with this Chavit. But you didn't say, make sure no Shani gets in contact with it and turns it, apostles it for Truma. So if you gave this partial Shmira, that's why it has this double, you know, that's why it's Tehorami Litameh, it's not going to become a Shani, but it could become a Shlishi. Because you didn't tell the people, make sure nobody who has a Shani touches it. Okay, no one whose hands are Shani or something touches it. So therefore, there was a problem with the type of shmira you set up, and that shmira sets it up that it can't become a rishon, but it could become a sheni. Can't become a rishon or sheni; it could become a shlishi. Okay. Now, so therefore, again, where are we holding? It's always important to go back to our where were we holding. This again proves, if that's the understanding, that there's no issue of hasechadat. Hasechadat doesn't break the tumah. Here, there's an issue that the shmira wasn't done kamo shetzarich. And that's why it could become pasul, because you never said, watch it for truma, okay, for shlishi. So now, they're going to say, umi ika nitiruta lapalga, can you really do a partial shmira? Can you ask, is this such a thing that you say, make sure it doesn't get pasul from this, but not from that, right? So they say, in, you really could. Vahatanya, how do we know? There's a braita that says, hoshit yado basal, bahasal al ktefo. Okay, you have this basket on your shoulders, and he puts his hand in the sal. Okay, v'hamagrefa b'toch hasal. He has te'inim in the sal, and he has a magrefa. Magrefa is a sort of rake type plea where you can use it for all sorts of things, but you can use it to separate the te'inim when they get stuck to each other. It's like a pitchfork kind of thing. Okay, so in this plea you have a te'ina and you have a magrefa. What's the difference? A magrefa is a plea. Right? Because we know kelim are mitame from certain things, and right, certain things can't be mitame a kli, only machalu mashke. So there's teinim in the kli, and there's this magrefa. Okay. Haya belibo al hasal. He had intent to watch what's in the sal. The lo haya belibo al magrefa. Okay, the assumption here is that he was thinking really about the sal with the teinim inside and not the kli that was like a little bit tafel to the teinim. So now, hasal tahor v'amagrefa tme'ah. Okay? So the sal is tahor, the magrefa is tme'ah. So what do you see? This partial, there is such a thing as partial shmira, although we're going to see it much better after. This doesn't really say anything yet. Right now, they're telling us the sal is tahor, the magrefa is tme'ah. So now they say, hasal tahor, why is the sal tahor? Titameha magrefa la sal. The magrefa should be able to put the tumah back on the sal. So they said, no, that can't be, because ain't kli mitame kli. A kli can't be mitame another kli, because a kli, assuming it's a rishon, it can't be mitame a sheni, right? A rishon can only be mitame machal mashke. V'litame masha basal. So then it should be able to be mitame the teinim, though. If the magrefa is tume'an, it's touching the teinim will automatically become a sheni. So how could this possibly be this case? They're saying this case doesn't make any sense. So how do they explain it now? And now they're going to explain it in a way that they're going to show that there was shmira l'chalakim. Amar Ravina, ba'omer shmartiv midavar shemitam'o, v'lo midavar haposlo. It's in a case where he said, make sure it doesn't come in contact with something that's going to make it tameh like a rishon, in which case it'll get, if the magrifa becomes a rishon, it's going to make the te'enim into a sheni. But lo midavar haposlo. But you weren't protecting it from something that could make it possible. Okay? So it could be, one second, what would be the case here that the Sana Shamesh Batara Lachatrila, and Yaman Akhim Lachela Dabukba Shubzwa. Right. I'm just trying to remember what could be Mitame the Magrefa then. That would be Mizavira Paslo. And a Magrefa Mitamat Tainim, Kivanshi Shmura Mitumashi Shukamatam, and a Magrefa Tama Psula. The Magrefa would be Psula, it would be, basically, it would be a Shani. How would it be a Shani though? Magrefa Shamaro Tashalote Asa Avo Rishon. Right, how could it be? Midrabana Enkli Nase Shani. Ah, okay. So the only case where the kli could become a sheni, because normally kelim aren't sheni, because a rishon can only be mitameh machal mashke. Remember I talked about these mashkim? The mashkim have a special level that if a liquid touches a rishon, it becomes a rishon, or a liquid touches a sheni, it becomes a rishon, and it can be mitameh a kli also. Because the rok of the zav can be mitameh a kli, so also the mashkim, there where it goes there, it can be mitameh a kli. So only in that case. That would have to be the case that you weren't protecting it from mashkim, that it become a rishon, that could be metame that kli, okay? But that would puzzle the kli, it would only make the kli into a sheni, it wouldn't make the kli able to make something else tame, okay? Again, assuming these tainim are not truma, because if they were truma, they could become, okay? But that's the assumption here. So in which case, in order to figure out how you get into this bizarre situation where the magrefa is tame and the tainim are not, they assume it has to be some weird case where there's a shmira l'chalakim. So now what do you see? That there is shmira l'chalakim. Okay? Now, that all being said, where are we holding? Just to remind us. The Gemara is going to remind us now. It says, mikom akom kasha. In any case, we're still left with our original question. What's our original question? If you put your hand in this pat chitim and it comes out pat sorim, that should be a sechadad and should be mitame the sorim. Likewise, this brighter that they brought of the shemen. You thought it was yain, it turned out to be shemen. In this case, the shemen is pasul only because it wasn't watched karaoi, because it had the shmira l'chalakim, but not because of hesech hadad. So you see here, the hesech hadad doesn't seem to really cancel out shmira. You can have good shmira with hesech hadad. So how do we say these three cases, that hesech hadad is what's breaking the shmira? Now we're going to have another case. V'od motiv, and we're going to get to the answers after. V'od motiv Rabba Baravua, ma'aseh b'isha achat shabat lefnei Rabbi Yishmael, v'amra lo, Rebbe, beged zeh ragtiv b'tahara, v'lo haya b'libi l'shomro b'tahara. Okay, she says, I wove this beged b'tahara, I made sure that everything was tahor all the way up to, you know, leading up to, you know, the weaving, the embroidery. But lo haya b'libi l'shomro b'tahara. It happens it was done b'tahara, but I never intended to do it b'tahara. I just know that if I think back, I think, oh, nothing tameh ever touched this thing. But what happened here? Mitoch b'dikot shaya Rabbi Yishmael bodka, amra lo, Rebbe nida mashchai mi b'chevel. What happens? So he starts grilling her. He says, what happened when you did this? And what happened when you did that? And after grilling her many, many questions, it turns out she's like, oh, you're right. One day, Anida came into my house, and she pulled this chevel, which moved the weaving loom. Now, with Anida and a few others, like Azav and Azava, there's what's called tumat heset, which means if I push this table, and this table pushes that chair on the other side of the room, and I didn't actually touch the chair because I moved the chair, that chair now becomes tameh. So she pulled this chevel, which moved the clay ariga, okay, the thing she was using, the weaving loom, and then that came in contact with the strings. So then the strings, the chutim that she was embroidering with, became tameh. Okay? So now, what do you see here? That he asked her all these questions, and eventually he found something that had made it tame. Amar Rabbi Yishmael, kama gedolim divrei chachamim shayu omrim, bilibo l'shamra tahor, ein bilibo l'shamra tame. He says, how great were the rabbis that they realized that only if you have kavana from the beginning is it going to work. Okay? But if you didn't have kavana, it's not going to work, because if you didn't have kavana, probably you messed up somewhere along the way. But if you had kavana and you were thinking about it all the while, then the assumption is no tumah ever came in contact with it. Now, why is this a problem? Because if you look back particularly to the case of the women, for example, and the guy who drops his thing on the floor and the other guy picks it up, those things were nishmarim the whole time, and they were b'kavana lishmorotam. So, according to what Rabbi Yishmael is saying, the key is always have your mind on it. If you always have your mind on it, you'll protect it. And here, they always had their mind on it, even though someone in the middle came along and something, there was a switch. But really, it was always nishmar. So, according to Rabbi Yishmael, this should be okay. That seems to be the problem. The kushia here is a little not so clear cut, because this source doesn't relate at all to Hesech Hadat, which is really our issue. So it's a little bit problematic. The question, the Mefreshim struggle a little bit with what to say, but that seems to be the basic understanding, that the question here is, it seems that the most important thing is Kavanah, and these people had Kavanah, so why should we say it's no good?
I was going to say, I think it is connected, because it's showing the problem with that even if your intention is to stay focused, in reality, there are things that happen that you can't control just by...
So then that would work in line with what
right.
we say. But
yes.
This is brought as a question. That's the problem.
Okay,
so it's really saying that this questions it. So now we're going to see another case, exactly the same kind of thing. Okay. Shuv ma'aseh bishachat shabad l'fnei Rabbi Yishmael amra lo Rebbe, mapa zeh aragtia batara v'lo haya b'libi l'shamra. Okay, the same thing. I made this mapa, but I wasn't careful, but I know it was done fine. When we talk with Yikot Shaya, Rabbi Yishmael Botka, Amralo Rebbe, Nima Nifsakali Ukshartia Bepeh. I had a little string in the beginning that ripped, and I tied it with my mouth. And the assumption was that she was a Nida, and her mouth has her rok on it, and the rok of a Nida is Mitame. Or, oh no, this is the assumption. Not that she was a Nida, but when she did it with her, right, she was a Nida when she did it, but, one second, if she... something here that it could be right. What's the issue? Something can't. Okay, she didn't think about this. Why? Even though she knew she was in nida when she tied it with her mouth. This is the thing. Beged can't accept tuma until it's 3x3 etzba'ot. So at that point, it was just a string. So it couldn't. There's no such thing as tuma. So the fact that her rok was on it was irrelevant. But it could be that when she tied that string into the baguette and it became 3x3, the rok hadn't dried. Okay, her spit was still on it, in which case, at that point, it would become tameh. So she didn't think of that possibility. Okay? Amar Rabbi Yishmael, kam gdolim debrei chachamim shayu omrim b'libo l'shamra tahor, ein b'libo l'shamra tameh. Okay. Now they're going to answer up two out of the three cases. Remember, we had three cases. The nafla ma'afarto, his shawl falls, nitchafu kelim shal shabbat kelim shachol, and the two women. So now they're going to start with the last one, the two women. Bishlama l'Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, kol echaf echat omeret chavrti eshet ha'maaret u'mascha da'atei mineh. Each one, when she picks up those clothes, assumes that the person whose clothes they were was married to an Am Haaretz. Interesting, they say, not that she was an Am Haaretz, she was married to an Am Haaretz. And therefore, she's not careful with Taharot. And therefore, she assumes that her beged is no longer Tameh. Now, think about yourselves, right? You ever be in a situation where you're being very careful, and then you think maybe you got into Nidus, you're like, oh, I'm already in Nidus, so I don't have to be careful anymore. Right? And once you think the begadim are Tameh, you're going to stop watching it and stop being careful. So, that's what happened here. She assumed, as soon as she realized she had someone else's clothes, she assumed that the person she had must not have been careful, and therefore she was no longer careful with her beged anymore. There was this moment of Hasei Chadat, which says, oh, this must be all messed up. L'Rabbi Yonatan ben Amram, Nami, this is the Kelim of Shabbat. Kevan de Kelim de Shabbat avet l'hushim or tfei, since Kelim of Shabbat, you generally have a higher level of Shmira, masachta teminayu. It wasn't just that he thought they were chol and they ended up being Shabbat. It's that he didn't do the Shmira, Kamosha Tzarich, for Big Day Shabbat. So because he didn't do them, he said, oh my God, these are big day Shabbat. I messed up the Shemira on them. So again, at that point, he realizes they're messed up and he's not going to be careful anymore. There was that moment of realizing this is all foregone. Amar Ella the Rabbi Yonatan ben Elazar, but what about this guy who drops his seif and asks his friend to pick it up? What's the issue? Navit leshimor biyadei dechavri. We could say his friend was careful about it, and this is what I already said before. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, chazaka ein adam meshamer masha biyad chaveru. We assume that a person doesn't carefully check what's in his friend's hands. Why? Because the assumption is, like I said, the friend doesn't know. You didn't tell the friend that you're keeping it bishmira. Right, so therefore, he assumes that. So let's talk about this chazaka in a minute, because we're going to see a question on the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Velo, v'hatanya." We have a braita that says, "Hare shayu." The truth is, let's just explain. Actually, I don't think the Gemara goes into this as much. So basically, the assumption is, I'm just going to repeat what I said in the beginning, which is that when the friend picks it up, he thinks that you didn't want him to watch it b'tahara, and therefore we don't know anything about the status, right? And therefore, even though the guy's watching it, right, he assumes it was this break. Because the guy knows that when his friend touches it, his friend might not be careful about the things the way he wants to be. So then they say, Velo, is that true? That your friend can't be watching things the way you would be? There's a braita that says, Haresha yu chamarav po'alav tu'unin taharot. He had his workers carrying taharot. Alfa pishe plig mehen yoter mi mil. Okay, he had all these workers who are Amaretz. They're not careful. But he says to them, you have to be careful. This is my stuff. You need to keep it patara. Even though he distances himself from them carrying the stuff, more than a meal, which is 2,000 Amah, tarotav torot, we assume they're tahor. V'imamar lechu v'ani avo acharechem. But if he says, go and I'll catch up to you later, kevan shenitamu einav mehem, as soon as he's out of sight, he can't see them, tarotav tmeot. We assume that they were metameh. So now the Gemara is going to say, well, maishna resha, maishna sefa. There's a bit of a problem in this case. First thing is, we see from this case that what? That things could be biyadayim shal achirim and still be nishmar b'tahara. That's our question, really. Now the Gemara is going to ask a question on this. Why in the resha is it good and why in the sefa is it not good? Amar b'yitzchak nacha, resha b'mitahara chamarabu po'alav lakach. And the resha was a case where he tovled all of them beforehand. He dipped them all in the mikveh to make sure they were all tameim. So if they touched his stuff, they wouldn't be tameim. Amar b'yitzchak nacha, resha b'mitaher ihachi, if that's the case though, seifa nami. So why are they tameim in the seifa? Right? If they're all tovled in the mikveh, what's the difference whether he's distanced from them or not distanced from them? So what do they say? Ein ha'ma'aretz makpina magach chaviro. He's going to be careful not to touch it, or if he touches it, it's fine. But he will let his friends, and Am Aretz won't be bothered if his friend wants to touch the stuff. So, ihachi resha nami. So then in which case, the resha should still be a problem, because maybe he let his friends touch it. Bibalahem derech akalaton. It's a case where he's walking on the side, but he can appear at any moment. This is like a mashkiach, right? The concept that there's always a concept where yichud, right? If you're yichud and your husband's in the city, there's always, someone's in your house, there's always this, your husband might always come in the house at any time. There's this concept of, so therefore, it's in a case where he could come at any time. And therefore, they're not going to let their friends touch it. So, ihachi sefa nami, so the sefa also. So, sefa kevanda amar lehu lechu v'ani avo acharechem mismach sam chadatayu. Since he said, you guys go ahead and I'll come later, they assume they have some time and they could let their friends touch it. Okay? So, in which case, what do you see here? You see here that ein adam shemer mashu b'yad chavero, but you could, because here, in the end, this proves that, so the question is, in the end, you left with a question, because this seems to show that you can be mishamer, what's b'yach havero, but I assume this is only in the case, well, again, you're still seeing it. So in the end, you still seem to have a problem, because I guess there's a dependence on what the situation is. I guess that's the idea. That here, if you want to say Adam Shomer Mashav Yad Chavero, so why is it not good in the Seifa and it is good in the Reisha? So in the end, Right? In the end, they answer up that the friends were tahorim. And the assumption was they wouldn't let anyone else touch it. So if the friends were tahorim, he knew the friends were tahorim. He told them in the mikvah. And that's why they were tahorim. And that's why it was okay. But generally, you're not mishamer mashu b'yad chaviro because your friend could give it to someone else to touch and anything can happen to it. I assume that's the conclusion. Okay. Hadron alach ein dorshim. Okay. We'll start very briefly with this mission. There's a lot of cases, so I don't think we'll get to all of them. But anyway, tomorrow's daf is very short, so we'll finish up tomorrow. But this mission is going to start comparing the Kodesh and the Truma. What are the differences between Kodesh and Truma, and in what ways is Kodesh Chamor Mitruma? Chomer b'Kodesh Shemi b'Truma. Some of this is just repetitive things we learned already. Shematbilim kelim b'toch kelim l'Truma, avalo l'Kodesh. If you have a kli inside another kli, there's a few different interpretations how you understand this, but let's just take a basic. You have a kli inside another kli, and you tovel them. Now, normally you might want to separate your kelim to make sure the water gets all around to every part of the kli. If the kli is inside another kli, the water might not touch every part of the kli. So for truma, it's good enough, this type of tefillah. For kodshim, it's not good enough. Achorayim b'toch u'beit ha-tzvita b'truma, aval lo b'kodesh. Okay, there's different parts of a kli. There's the achorayim, the outside. We're going to get into this more in the Gemara when the Gemara gets to this. There's the outside of the kli. Okay, but I didn't mention this, but when we talked about the chamarim and the poalim carrying the kli, the assumption was they were touching the outside of it, but which is okay. That's not going to be matame what's in the kli. The problem was if they go inside the kli. So the outside of the kli is judged in one way, but what touches the outside doesn't necessarily matame what's inside the kli. And also, there's the Beit HaTzvita, which seems to be some sort of handle. We're going to see in the Gemara how they translate it. So there's different parts of the kli, and each one is considered a separate part for Truma, which means that if the outside is tame, then the inside is not. But where it comes to Kodshim, if you're matame one part of it, all the other parts are tame. Hanoseya tamidras, noseya tatruma, avaloa takodesh. If you're carrying something that's midras, okay, the assumption here, what is midras? This is like a shoe, let's say, something that Zav stepped on, okay? So we talked about this with, right, sitting on the bigadim. We learned about the bigadim, right? That's tumat midras. So if you're carrying the shoe of the Zav, now the assumption is the shoe is like an avatuma, so it makes you into a rishon. You're carrying the shoe, but only while you're carrying it are you a rishon. So if you're holding the shoe, and at the same time, wait, I have to, this is complicated. At the same time, you're noseh tatruma b'chavit. Okay, so Rashi says you're carrying the truma in a, okay, the Mefreshim explain here, it's a kli cheres. A kli cheres is different. A kli matechet and a kli eitz. If you're touching the outside, the inside's tameh also. If you remember, we actually did this a long time ago, and I think it was in Shabbat when we talked about kelim and their tuma, and we showed some pictures of the inside and the outside. Some people, by the way, say the achorayim is not the outside. It's if you have like a gavia, a kiddush cup, and it has a bottom part. And this bottom part is like a kli. But that's considered a separate part of the kli. There's different interpretations of these. So anyway, if you are a kli cheres, if it's a kli cheres and you're matame the outside, the inside is not nitma, but a kli eitz and a kli whatever are. So if you're carrying this shoe, and in the other hand you're carrying a kli cheres, what's inside the kli cheres, if it's truma, it's not tame, because you're not matame what's inside the kli. Only if it's a kli cheres, even though the Mishnah doesn't say this, but that's the way the Mepharshim explained it. So if you're noseya tamidras, and at the same time you're carrying this kli of truma, you're not matame the truma, avaloa takodesh, but the kodesh you are. In other words, you can't carry the kodesh, okay? Because you would be metame the kodesh. Big day ochle truma midras the kodesh. Okay, that's what we learned already, right? That if you're a shomer, your things for truma, they're not shamur for midras, for kodesh. So we're assuming if you had this beged, that it could be somebody sat on it, and therefore you can't use it for kodeshim. You could use it for truma. We don't assume someone sat on it then. Lo kemidata kodesh midata truma, shebekodesh matir umenagev umatbil vaharkach kosher, ubetruma kosher vaharkach matbil. Okay, we'll finish with this one today. This will be our last one. If you have a beged that's tied, can you tovel it like that? Is it considered a chatzitza? So for kodesh, you have to be matir, you have to open up the knot, umenagev, and you have to dry it entirely, because water could also be considered a chatzitza. Umadbil, Bahar kach kosher. And then after you finish the tefillah, then you can retie. Ubetruma kosher bahar kach matbil. You can even tie a bege before you throw it in the mikvah. It's not a problem. We don't assume that the tie makes a chatzitza. Al kidei kach, we even let you do. We don't even say b'dieved, it's fine. You can even tie it and throw it in the mikvah. And that's fine for truma. Okay, so these are just a list of different things. Tomorrow we'll get to the rest of them. Okay.